Go to the book of Revelation, and as we close with the capstone God put on 65 books, the book that wraps it all together, the book of Revelation. Could you read Revelation without reading anything else in the Bible? Yes, but it really pulls all the Bible together, and it's going to make so many references to the Old Testament, New Testament. I never refer it. You know, people are weird nowadays, and I say weird, they have weird ideas. If they're a young Christian, they get spooked out with Revelation. I would never tell a young Christian to make the book of Revelation the first book you read. I'd say go to the book of John, go to Romans, learn to get a working knowledge of the Bible so the book of Revelation can wonderfully explode to you, and it's a beautiful book. When you read verse 1, ready? Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him." Notice the R is capitalized. It should be, if you got the right Bible. That tells you that is the title of the book. Otherwise, the word revelation would not be capitalized. So the title of the book is not, like it is in most Bibles, the revelation of St. John the Divine. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. If that's all you knew about the book of Revelation, the purpose of the book is to reveal or manifest Jesus to you. People will say, oh, the book of Revelation, and what's this mean, and what's this? It is not a book of hidden meanings. It's a book of revealing. And what's supposed to happen is when you read it, you're supposed to see Jesus. If you've never done that, people say, you know, what's this mean, the prophecy and this, and what's this? The word I beheld is in there 7 times. The word I saw, this phrase, is in there 49 times in 22 chapters. And notice carefully, the word like is in there 26 times. What I saw was like this. He's going to use earthly language to describe a heavenly vision. And it's things, so there is the word as, it was as. You know, the hair was as a woman's, and the teeth were as lion's teeth. He's trying to say what God showed me about the future. The closest thing you could relate to is this. If you know that's what you're reading, then it's a book of where God is going to show you things for the future. Numbers in the book of Revelation. The number 7 is found 54 times. Well, that's God's number of perfection. I pay attention to the numbers. Notice how many times, when he says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. He says the word woe 3 times. You need to take notice of the numbers. The number 12, the number of government, is in there 22 times. The 13 is not in there, but there's many things in there that are, for instance, the dragon, which is always the devil, is in the book of Revelation 13 times. The 13 is the number for sin, depravity, and rebellion. Okay? All through your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So the numbers, there's a lot you can pay attention to. I love saying this when we teach the book of Revelation. If you would not get so caught up in what things mean, and if you would just read the book for what God gave it to us as, just look for Jesus in it. And the reason Jesus, the Lamb of God, is so bright in the book of Revelation is because he is contrasted with the devil's evil and darkness. And there's probably no other book of the Bible that magnifies and reveals Jesus so beautifully because of all the evil that's taking place. And they said it's easy to see Jesus and his righteousness in the book of Revelation because you have the Antichrist. Okay, so a good division, and if you read it, chapter 1, as a matter of fact, if you're looking at chapter 1, look at verse number 19. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." There's two ways you can divide the book of Revelation. Verse 19 speaks of the natural outline. The natural outline is this. The things which thou hast seen is chapter 1. the things which are presently are chapters 2 and 3 when he teaches about the churches, and the things which shall be is from chapter 4 on. Okay? So that's a nice division. There's one more way you can divide the book of Revelation when you read it. You will notice God gives John four visions in 22 chapters. Some like to divide the book of Revelation by how God divided the visions. Here's the vision spots. The first vision, he's on Patmos, and it's of Jesus and the churches, and that's going to be chapter 1, verse 9, where he says the Lord showed him this. Then in chapter 4, verse 2, God gives him a vision of heaven and shows him in heaven what's going on. Christ is king. Then, in chapter 4, 2, Christ is the Lamb of God. Then the next one is going to be in the wilderness when the Babylonian whore is destroyed in chapter 17, verse 1. And the last vision God gives John is on a mountain, and it's going to show Christ and his bride in the new heaven and new earth, chapter 21, verse 1. Sometimes, if you can break the book down, it helps you, okay? One more thing I'll use this board for, and then I'll go over there. Your whole Bible is laid out in pre-tribulation, and old Baptist church signs used to say, an independent Baptist church, premillennial, pre-tribulation, premillennial. You don't see pre-tribulation or premillennial anywhere anymore because people don't even know what it means, okay? But in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that was very important to people when they attended a church. A lot of people don't care now, but watch this. Your whole Bible is laid out with the greatest event being Revelation chapter 19 when the Lord Jesus comes again. The curse is lifted. He reigns for 1,000 years. We're in our supernatural bodies. We come back with him. Your whole Bible is laid out pointing to that event. The greatest event in your life is when you got saved. The greatest event in your Bible is when Jesus comes again and lifts the curse. Okay? Watch this. If we say, which we are, okay, I am, okay, and I think we are, okay, I can't speak for you totally, but you come here, and I'm glad you're here, but we're a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial church. What's that mean? We believe 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross, we're in the church age, and before the tribulation period, the rapture takes place. That's pre-trib. We're pre-tribulation. Then we're premillennial. That means we believe Jesus is coming again before he reigns. Okay? So we're a pre-trib, premillennial church. You say, what are the options here? Okay? There's a new teaching that started out in 1991, and it is called mid-tribulation, pre-wrath. And it's all over the stupid internet, and I hope you're not wrapped up in it, but if you are, I can help you. But I just talked to a pastor 3 weeks ago that's wrapped up in this. They believe we're going through the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, and then before the great tribulation, the rapture takes place. So those type of people say, oh, you Christians that believe you're going to miss all this horrible stuff that's happening, you're weak, and adding to the apostasy of the church. Look, those people that believe we're going through the first half of the tribulation, they're saving refried beans and all that, saving beans to make it through 3.5 years of... Do you know what happened? They say, well, the first 3.5 years isn't that bad. When you read the book of Revelation, do you realize it doesn't rain? The moment the rapture takes place, the Antichrist is revealed, and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years on the face of the earth. And you're going to save beans to make it through the first 3.5 years? Are you crazy? That's nutso cuckoo bird stuff. Then you say, well, then notice when you read about the witnesses, they're able to change rivers into blood. So if anybody does have a fresh water supply, okay, that it's without rain, they can change. Do you know how many people that's going to kill? Just no, 3.5 years drought, okay? So, no, I don't. I think all you need to know is this. if all you knew that the tribulation period was called, it's Daniel's 70th week. And it plainly says in chapter 9, we won't look at it this morning, but it is for determined against thy people. That's Israel. It's for Israel. One more verse. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 calls this whole seven-year period Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's for Israel. Israel is God's bride in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Who's the bride of Christ? The Gentile church. So there's two brides, right? We know Jesus and God are the same. But when God is teaching us, He wants us to picture, no, the bride is taken out before the tribulation. Not if we go, I like what one person said, we're not going through the tribulation period. Are you nuts? Jesus isn't a wife beater. Get it? Bride of Christ? Okay, going through? Okay. I'm glad some of you got that, okay? No, we're not going through the tribulation. Do you know what we have to deal with? 2 Timothy chapter 3 mentions perilous times and evil men getting worse and worse. That's what we're dealing with. If you take the pandemic or plandemic, a virus created in Wuhan, weaponized, five viruses put together, released to enforce the giving of a vaccine where they would make, and they said, trillions of dollars. No one has seen anything like this. No, has anybody ever seen a global response to the flu? And to this day, do you know what the most contagious disease in the world is? It killed 1.2 million people last year and has killed over a million people a year for the past 30 years. Tuberculosis. But they're not, nobody's interested in who has the most contagious disease in the world. They're only focusing on COVID. Okay? And tuberculosis is much deadlier. Much. It's a nasty disease. We're watching things happen that we've never seen before. We're watching evil take place that we've never seen before. What's that mean? That means the perilous times are getting worse and worse till the rapture happens and God's going to say, come on home, it's all over. Okay? So we have to deal with perilous times. No, we're not going through the tribulation. But as this world gets ready for the Antichrist to take power, we're watching the stage be set. Globalism, internet. Internet's only 25 years old. They track everywhere you go with your phone now. They know every place you've been. They listen to everything you say. If you have a computer or a phone in your house, they listen to everything you say. If you don't believe that, have a mock conversation about assassinating the president sometime and see who knocks on your door when you never made a phone call. There's robots that search what's being said. So we're all being surveyed, okay? That's never happened before. We're watching things take place that we've never seen. Evil is mounting. You know what that tells me? Jesus is coming. Okay. Oh, what are we going to do? I'd hurry up and go win somebody to Christ. Amen. I'd hit your knees and I'd start praying and reading your Bible. And if you haven't read it through yet, you might want to do that. You know, it'll help you. All right. But what? I get close to God. We're at the end of the world. Amen. Now, that's either exciting to you or it's depressing if this world is all you have. If you're living for this world, it's like it's going to be destroyed. And it is just starting. Now, here we go. This is junk. Mid-tribulation is junk. All Catholics and all Protestants are post-tribulation, post-millennial. What's that mean? Okay? That means they believe when they read the Bible, because most of them are lost. I didn't say all of them. But when you read the Bible and you're lost and you don't have the Holy Spirit of God to tell you what's going on and help you, you're going to come up with whacked up junk like this. Okay? But watch. They believe we're in the 1,000 years spiritual kingdom of Jesus and they're supposed to make things better and better and take nations and then Jesus comes back. There's nothing. This is evolutionary. Does everybody understand that? There's nothing that gets better in this world other than your salvation. Everything else gets worse, including mankind. I like what one person said. You can always tell if you're being taught what's right. Here, I can use this. Because everything goes down. That's the law. It's the law of mankind. Everything gets worse, except when Jesus saved you. Amen? Everything else is going downhill. There is nothing getting better and better. Okay? So, I said that. That's an outline for the overview of Revelation. Go to chapter 2. Yeah, go to chapter 2 and look at verse 1. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." You're going to find the word church mentioned from chapter 2 to chapter 3. Seven churches, okay? These are seven real churches with real people in them and real pastors over each church. But they can also, because this is a book of prophecy, they can also, I believe, represent periods of time through the church age. You say, how come? When you hit chapter 4, go to chapter 4. It says, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." From chapter 4 to chapter 19, you don't read about the church anymore. That's because the church is not in the tribulation. The church or Bible believers are taken out of this, and we go to heaven for the judgment seat of Christ and the celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then to come back with the Lord Jesus here. Okay? I think that's a wonderful observation, because in chapter 4 it says a door is opened. A door is opened in heaven and someone goes up. When you read Revelation 19, as a matter of fact, go to Revelation 19. I'll just give you an overview here real quick, trying to help you as you read this. No, we're not going to read 22 chapters, but watch this. It says here, chapter 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." So in chapter 19, there's a door that's opened in heaven, and someone comes down. Okay? So, the church is taken out. That's why I think as you read the Bible, Revelation 4 is the rapture. That's when God calls us home. That's why somebody said, oh, the book of Revelation, it scares me, all this death, and we're not going to be here if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Okay? You don't want to be left behind, all right? But if you're saved, why would the book of Revelation scare you? It should do nothing but motivate you. Do you have lost loved ones? Who in your family is not saved? If you read the book of Revelation, it should scare you to think that they would be left and might be deceived into taking the mark of the beast. Okay, all this talk, you know, of the mark of the beast, and you can't buy or sell without it. As a matter of fact, let's go there. Go to Revelation chapter 12, all right? Revelation chapter 12. Little things that would help you as you read this as a Bible believer, okay? Okay, the book of Revelation is primarily in chronological order, okay? Because it says, after this, and after this. And after this. So it's pretty much in chronological order. The only thing you're going to have to deal with when you read the book of Revelation is in chapter 5, he's going to take you up to heaven and show you what's happening in heaven, and you'll see the Lamb that was slain as it had been slain. Then he's going to bring you back down to earth and show you the curses and the judgments. Then in chapter 7, you're going to go back up to heaven and see what's happening. Then you come back down, and then in chapter 11, verses 15, God shows you again in heaven. And people don't understand. No, it's in chronological order. All of heaven is waiting for Jesus to come back. And they're like, oh, it's getting ready to happen. The curse is getting ready to be lifted. We're getting, Jesus is getting ready to reign. And so the anticipation in heaven happens in chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 11, chapter 14, chapter 15, and finally, chapter 19. Jesus gets on his horse and he says, let's ride. Okay? And we come behind him. And he does all the slaying of the Muslim army, the Antichrist. The blood flows 4 feet deep up to the horse's bridle. We won't have any of it to deal. We'll all be riding together behind Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? You know, in immortal bodies that can't die. So here's all the Muslim armies on the earth, and they're like, watch those clouds up there. You'll be coming right out of those clouds on a horse that's flying, really? And you want to fight him? Are you goofy? You know what I mean? Yeah, we want you to fire your missiles and your guns right up there when they come out of those clouds. And then we're the whole army, the host of heaven that comes behind the Lord. Can you imagine them shooting missiles at us? That is when I want to catch a bullet in my teeth. And I will. I'm going to be like, hey, Brother Garland, watch this. Got one. Because I can't. We'll be in immortal bodies. I want to catch a rocket and point it back at them. Play with that. That'll be all. You say, we'll be immortal. We'll be in our new bodies. We'll be coming with the King. He doesn't lose. Okay? So, with that in mind, if you know how this works, you're shown heaven 5 different times till the coming. Then, you know, chapter 12 should be marked. That's the 3.5-year mark. And here's what happens at the 3.5-year mark. Ready? Look at verse number 13, chapter 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which is Israel, which brought forth the man-child, that would be Jesus, that came out of Israel, right? And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle. All you need to know is chapter 12 is midway when Satan comes to this earth. Where is the devil right now? It plainly says, look at verse number 10. Okay? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. When we get to heaven, okay, when the rapture takes place and all believers go to heaven, one of the things you're going to see is the devil, and where does the Bible say Satan is? He's not sitting on a smoldering throne in hell with brimstone. He's in heaven before God's throne accusing the brethren. So when you get to heaven, if you're saved, one of the things you'll see is Satan. I didn't know the devil was in heaven. He doesn't get cast out until chapter 12, in the middle of the tribulation. Then he embodies the Antichrist, and he becomes Satan incarnate. Just like Jesus was God incarnate. Okay? 100% God, 100% man. Satan will fill the body of the Antichrist, and then the Great Tribulation begins. Okay? So, chapter 12 is midpoint. Chapter 12 is midpoint. Then, you say, why are you here? Look at chapter 13. And it says here, look at verse 16. And he causeth all, I'm in chapter 13, verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay, with all the talk of the mark of the beast, I understand why the world's confused. Okay? But a Bible-believing Christian should know, you don't accidentally, when they came out with Social Security numbers, everybody was like, oh, it's the mark of the beast, don't take the, you can't accidentally take the mark of the beast. You can't like, oh man, I got it. The only way you get the mark of the beast, number one, the rapture has to take place first, you have to be left behind. Two, you have to worship the beast to get his mark. That's why when they came out with, you know, with the UPC symbols, you know, and it starts with 6, ends with 6, and 6 is in the middle, 666, and they were like, UPC symbols, the mark of the... Okay, everybody's got the thoughts. Now they are putting tracking chips. Well, that's a radio chip, and that means in the right hand, and we're watching things be set up for the Antichrist, but there is no mark of the beast right now. Well, yeah, but if you don't get the vaccine, they're going to lock up stop your bank accounts and won't let you buy in the stores and won't let you... They're calling the vaccine the mark of the beast. Let me say it again. There is no mark of the beast right now. The groundwork is being laid so that when the rapture takes place, who will come into picture? The Antichrist. He'll say, I have all the economic answers, and that's when the world gets structured. So whether it's a radio chip in the hand, they're tracking pets with it, you say, well, you can go into Walmart, and if they put the chip in your hand, all you got to do is scan your hand, and it goes right to your bank account, and okay, all of it's getting set up. But there is no mark of the beast right now. You can only get... That's why everybody who gets the mark of the beast goes straight to hell at the end of... when they die in the tribulation. Those that are cursed are those who take the mark, because why? They had to worship the beast to get the mark. So, I as you read this, I think there's some things that should make sense to you. The world's crazy. Those who use Satan to do what they want to do. Rock groups, Satanist groups, they like 666. Okay? Oh, it's the mark of the beast, and it rep... Okay. Read about the mark of the beast at the end of chapter 13. Ready? Watch verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay. 7 is God's perfect number of completion, right? God rested on the seventh day. 6 is the number of man. What day of creation did God make man? On the sixth day. Okay? 6 pallbearers carry the casket to the gravesite. 6, I mean, you can go on and on. We're buried 6 feet under. 6 is the number of a man. Pretty much that's all you know. Okay? I don't go into, what's it? And nor do I freak out when I see someone's license plate that has 666 on it. Okay? It's not here yet. Watch this, I'm a saved Christian, nor do I care about it. Okay? I stay away from that stuff. It does not scare me, and it does not interest me. That's the way the world lives. I think as a Bible believer, you should understand. Chapter 12, middle of the tribulation. Now, let's go back to chapter 6. Here we go. Ready? Revelation chapter 6. I'm trying not to belabor the Revelation Bible study. You could obviously spend a Sunday on each chapter, okay? It's a huge study. It's a wonderful study. I'll just encourage you this way. If you've never read the book of Revelation, it would take you 1 hour and 10 minutes to read 22 chapters. If you've never read it, take out a pencil and look for Jesus, and I promise you it'll bless your heart. Somebody told me, they said, quit getting wrapped up in... I'd only been saved a year. They said, quit getting wrapped up in all the prophecies. Just look for Jesus. I did it, and I just wept. I was in Okinawa. I could take you right to the place it happened. If you've never read the book, just sit down and just read it from start to finish. It helps you. If you understand the rapture's in chapter 4, the second coming is in chapter 19, midway is chapter 12, good grief, you got the rest of it. Amen? Just enjoy Jesus. Just enjoy the Lord. Okay? Now, with that in mind, chapter 6, watch this. In chapter 6 is the start of the tribulation period. Okay, the rapture's happened in chapter 4. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Stop. What are the seals? You're going to have 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 vials. That's why they say there's 21 judgments being executed by God on the earth during the tribulation period. I don't know why, in chapter 10, thunders are mentioned. And right before John gets ready to write, God says, don't even write that. We don't even know what these are. And I can't help but think it's something so terrible that God says, we'll watch that from heaven when we get there. I don't know what it is. Okay? I don't think it's good. Okay? I don't think it's a reprieve or a blessing. But there are seven thunders. I don't know why they don't say there's 28, but they call the book of Revelation 21 judgments that will take place. God judges the earth for its sin and Israel for its rejection of Jesus. So, with that in mind, the first seal is, watch this, here we go. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder come, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That is the Antichrist. He has a bow. And how does Daniel chapter 3 and chapter 8 say the Antichrist is going to conquer the world with peace? So the first thing that takes place, nobody knows who the Antichrist is. Remember when Obama was president, we'd go out soul winning. I must have been asked 6 times in 8 years, do you think Obama's the Antichrist? No. You say, how do you know? Because the rapture hasn't happened yet. That's why. The first person that comes on the scene when we're out of here and in heaven, the first person is the white horse. And what's he called in Isaiah 10 times? The Assyrian. That's why everybody says, we don't know who he is, but watch Syria. What is modern day Syria? Watch Turkey. Turkey's the second largest army in NATO. It will be a force to be. I don't know who it is. But when you read Revelation chapter 2, God tells you where Satan's seat is. It's still there. It's in Pergamos. That's Turkey. Some of you go, oh, it moved from, Satan moved his seat from Pergamos to Rome, and now it's in the New York with the United Nations. The Bible doesn't say that. Satan's seat is in Turkey. Why? The Antichrist is going to be an Assyrian. He's going to be a Muslim posing to be a Jew. So watch Syria. Amen? When we're out of here, then he'll be revealed. Nobody knows who he is. And God plainly says that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's spend the rest of our time here thinking about one thing, okay? The first seal is the white horse. That's the Antichrist. He comes on the scene. Notice the next seal. Ready? It says here, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat there on watch to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So the second seal is when every nation on the face of the earth starts either a civil war or starts battling with another nation. Peace leaves the earth. In war, people die. It doesn't even say how many people die, right? It just says the war kills people. You say, where are you going with this? Look at the third seal that is opened, the black horse. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. That means a famine is going to be worldwide. So the third seal is famine. You say, where are you going with this? This year, so far, 20 million people have died from famine in the world. The average number per year that die because of no food is 15 million. They're saying 15 million have died already, plus 20 million because of the food shortage and the droughts and the things we're watching happen. What's happening? We're watching the world get ready for Jesus to come. The famines are going to get worse. It's not going to get better. I wish it would, okay? Think with me. This horse, famine, if by the time the tribulation gets here, I don't know how many are going to die. If 20 million have died this year, more than last year, I don't know what the number is. I know we're talking millions. Okay? Then the pale horse is death. Watch, look at verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth, watch, fourth part of the earth. Okay, what's the population of the earth right now? If you search it, 7.9 billion, right? It was 7 billion in 2011. So in 10 years, it's almost grown a billion. Population of the earth. If the rapture took place now, let's just round it up to 8 billion so we can deal with whole numbers, okay? A quarter of 8 is what? 2? So from one seal, one judgment, 2 billion people are killed. Everybody see that? If you follow this through in the book of Revelation, I think this is amazing. 2 billion people die right here, okay? When that pale horse is released and hell follows him. Then, in chapter 8, verse 11, it says many people die. Then in chapter 9, verse 15, it says one third of the earth die. Okay, I'm just giving you the references real quick. If you keep doing the math on this, we're now at, let's just say we're at 6 billion. One third of 6 billion would be 2 more billion people, right? So 2 more billion people die here. Then when you get to chapter 16, a meteor called Wormwood hits the earth and it says every soul in the sea dies. The only way I could add that up, animals don't have souls, people do. So I went through and I added up. I was thinking of islands with people on them in the sea, because it says the waters are poisoned from that meteor, Wormwood, hitting the earth, right? So it says men, all the souls in the sea died. If you add up those in Hawaii, 1.4 million. Australia is 25 million. New Zealand is 5 million. Philippines, Japan, UK, Sicily. I probably missed some. I came up with 330 million, so I just rounded it up. That's, if every soul in the sea dies, I don't think it's talking about fish. It's talking about all the people. That's 500 million. If you do the math on this, by the time you get to the end of the tribulation, where are we? We're in heaven, right? By the time you get to the end of the tribulation period, the end population of the world that goes into the millennium is somewhere between 1 and 2 billion people. And that's conservative, because there's 8 billion people on the face of the earth right now, right? Okay? That's a lot of people. This is a time of judgment. Here we go. I'm looking forward to Revelation here when we come with Jesus. Babylon is destroyed, Revelation 17 and 18. If you knew we were close to this, anywhere close, I don't know when the raptures happened. Jesus said nobody knows. But why wouldn't you be concerned about lost people? Amen? When this much death happens, I just think it's kooky to hear people talk about, oh yeah, we're going to go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. You know what I'd tell them? I'd like, you're done. You're doomed. You're not going to make it. No, less than a quarter of the earth is left at the end. So why wouldn't we? Judgment is supposed to be a motivator. One thing that motivates us to serve the Lord is God loved you enough to die for you. You'll never die and go to hell when you place your faith in Him. Now, what are you going to do for the Lord? And if that doesn't motivate you, the second motivation in the Bible is supposed to be judgment, right? And if it's not, God will spank you if you do wrong. What about the upcoming judgment on the lost? I'll close with this thought. If you knew this was getting ready to happen, which I believe it is, how bad do you have to hate somebody to not care what happens to them when they die? Well, I'm saved. All I know is I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. Wait a second. We're supposed to be trying to get as many people saved as we can. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to show you the Lord with a backdrop of the Antichrist. And he loses. Praise God. He goes to the lake of fire. It'll be wonderful. But until then, we've got a big job to do. Amen. So I hope you enjoy reading it. I tried to whet your taste buds on it. God bless you. Hey, we need to get this room ready for junior church, gang. Let's take that last three tables, fold them up.